Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today, I'm going to share with you about one of the most basic themes of the spiritual life. It's the theme of faith. I'm going to talk about faith through the lens of the concept of trust, and doing so in three levels. And in the end, I'm going to root them all in the great mercy of God the Father. I'm very excited to be able to share this with you today. I think it's so important. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. All right, let's pray. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, that was a short prayer. I'm going to pray after I introduce this topic a little bit more fully. So let's dive into the theme today. Jesus, I trust in you. It's a beautiful statement. We think of it in relationship to the Divine Mercy Chaplet, St. Faustina. And it's true. Jesus, I trust in you is a powerful and fundamentally important aspect of that message, the message of Divine Mercy. And it's a message that St. John Paul II identified as a key message, like a key facet of divine revelation that is intended for our time. And he stated even that he believed, it was his discernment, that this was one of the reasons why he was raised to the pontificate, that he was elevated to be the Pope, in part, one of among many reasons that the Lord does these things, precisely because he was someone who grew up around the convent of St. Faustina and became familiar as a devout Polish Catholic with these messages of divine mercy and was a supporter of these messages. And even though the messages of divine mercy for a time came to be misunderstood at the Vatican through errors in translation, they were rehabilitated, and who knows the extent of the reason for that rehabilitation, because of St. John Paul II. Because when he became Pope, it was something that was reevaluated, and eventually Sister Faustina became Saint Faustina during the pontificate of St. John Paul II, and as you know, the Sunday after Easter Sunday is now called Divine Mercy Sunday. Okay, I bring all of that to you as a precursor for three different happenings in my life. The first one was a really interesting conversation between two 12-year-olds and me. I picked up my youngest daughter, Liliana, from school yesterday, and a friend of hers, and had a chance to chat with them a little bit. And they wanted to talk about eternity. How about that? And it led me front and center to reflect on the meaning of divine mercy. How, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. This also was connected to something that happened in my prayer time this morning. This morning in my prayer time, I opened a drawer. I was looking for my glasses, and I came upon my dad's funeral notice. My dad died just over a year ago at the end of September, September 29th last year. And his the pamphlet the worship aid during his funeral. It was there. And it got me thinking in a very poignant way about the reality of death and how, in one way, the living, those who are here on earth, just continue on. We continue on. And while I will think about my dad now and again, I thought about him quite a bit when I was walking the Camino, not just thinking about him, praying for him and asking for his prayers. But it got me thinking about, again, this reality of the meaning of life and death. And this is going to come back to the fundamental theme of my sharing today, which is about trust. Trusting in the Lord. You can trust in God. It's not always easy. We go through challenging times in our lives. But my message for today is a sharing about trusting in our good God. Jesus, I trust in you. And I'm going to unfold it for you today, identifying three different layers or levels of trust. And this is drawn from our Catholic faith, from the theology of the theological virtues, right? The theological virtues are faith, hope, and love. And trust in particular is associated with the virtue of faith. And so I'm going to unfold these three different layers or levels of faith through the theme of trust. And hopefully by doing that, it'll help you understand the way in which our good God, our God who is perfectly good, who is all good, intends for you to live with trust. Now, I said that we realize that life is hard sometimes. And in that circumstance, how do we recover trust? How do we discover trust? How do we go deeper into the situations that we're facing, surrounded by, with the shield of faith, and the shield of faith as a shield of trust, trusting in God? So that's my hope for my sharing with you today. And I'm going to begin with a prayer. It's so important that we enter into times of reflection like this in a way that is marked by prayer. And so let's begin. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, good and gracious God, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' holy name for the gifts of faith, hope, and love, for the gift of trust. And Lord, I pray right now, I just beg you to bless those who are connected to me right now, that they would be able to experience a revival of trust, a deepening of trust. Lord Jesus, please draw close to them at their point of throbbing need, at the places in their lives where it is hard to trust. Jesus, we trust in you, but even as we cry out, we trust in you. We experience the gap. We experience the lack. We experience those places where we fall short in our trust. And so, Lord, make up the gap. Fill that gap, O Lord. Stir into flame, O Holy Spirit, these gifts lavished upon us, infused within us in baptism. And Lord, I entrust to you those situations that are burdens to me in my life right now. Those burdens associated with my marriage and my family, with my kids and the situations they're facing, and their schooling, and their working, and their discerning of a life vocation. Lord, I pray for health situations that are challenging. And Lord, professionally, I ask you to give me the grace of trusting you and entrusting myself to you professionally and in ministry, Lord, that you would do a mighty work, Lord, of giving me that grace of a peaceful acknowledgement that you are with me. And I pray that prayer, Lord, in a hundredfold way for those who are joining me now, that they would experience in their lives, in their minds, and in their hearts, Lord, a revival of trust, a deepened experience of trust. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm Dr. Tom Curran, and it's great to be with you today. Those of you that have walked with me through the years know that my principal passion in life is helping Catholics to come alive in faith through understanding the truth, appreciating the beauty, and living the goodness of our faith. I so desire that you would be radiant with Jesus Christ himself, that your life would radiate Christ into your world, into this world. And as you do that, your very life will become magnetic. Your life will become magnetic. You will draw people to yourself because you radiate Christ. It's a powerful truth, isn't it? It's a beautiful truth. In fact, it's a truth that people also get at a human level. I'm going to share with you in a little bit about a presentation I gave. I said my principal passion in life is ministry work, helping Catholics to come alive in faith and really to help them flourish and help their families flourish. And being blessed, as I have been, with a wife and 9 kids, youngest being 12 and the oldest 25, that the Lord has also provided for us through work that I've done as a consultant, a strategy consultant and executive coach in corporate settings, and in the last few years doing real estate work. And I love in my real estate work to help families flourish by helping, you know, folks to discover how they can uproot their family. And often that's the folks I'm helping, families who are choosing to move intentionally because of life circumstances, saying we need to move our family. Well, we're fleeing to Egypt. We're fleeing to Egypt. We're moving our families to a place of greater flourishing. And those aren't the only folks I'm helping. I'm helping people move because of work situations and sizing down situations or change of life circumstances, right? Empty nesters or grandparents being with grandkids, or there was the loss of a loved one, loss of a spouse. And so it was time to move to be closer to family, or things like that, right? And so I love walking with families in those circumstances, and I get to bring my faith to bear, because my whole approach to real estate is not only to be excellent in the reality of being a realtor, but to bring the full person that I am, right? Remember that idea. What you radiate is magnetic. And so if I can radiate into the conversations that I'm having in real estate, I get to bring my faith in Christ. I get to bring the reality of the living Lord within me into those conversations. And that what I just said out loud, it doesn't have to be like an extraordinary thing. It doesn't have to be extraordinary, like so out of the ordinary that I couldn't imagine doing that in my own way. Because here's the truth. When you walk into the environment that you're in day to day, whatever your profession is, you're radiating something. You are impacting the atmosphere of the space where you go. You must have that sensitivity, right? You must have that sensitivity that when you go into certain locations, right? If you go into like a nightclub, or you go into a certain kind of bar, or into certain stores, are your like spiritual antenna up regarding, whoa, wait a minute, the atmosphere in this space is it's just off? Or maybe a little closer to home, think about relationships. How many times do you come into a room and there you see a couple, a married couple, and you just sense what they're radiating is, okay, they're angry, they're in conflict, but they are in a hurting space just because of what they're giving off. And so it's not a matter of us saying to ourselves, are we going to radiate Christ and the fruits of our union with Christ into the places we go, into the conversations we have. Really, the question is, how profound is that radiance, right? How deep is that atmosphere that we give off? And I want you to think about that from the standpoint of people of deep faith that come into your presence, or people of deep faith when they come into your presence. Isn't there a sense of freedom? Isn't there a sense of joy? Isn't there a sense of peace? And it's really not about, first of all, what they're doing. In part, it might be what they're saying, but you see it in their eyes. You see it on their face, right? There's a radiance that is the overflow of the union that we have with Jesus Christ, right? What happened to Moses when he went up the mountain and he was with the Lord for 40 days and he comes down the mountain, and what happens? His face is radiant. It's radiant with the glory of God, the majestic beauty of God is reflected on his face. It's shining forth on his face. He had to veil it. He had to veil his face because the radiance was so great.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
St. Paul talks about this in his letter to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about we have been brought near to the living God, not at the top of the mountain like Moses, but by Jesus, but brought into even a more profound intimacy with Jesus. And that intimacy shines forth on our faces unveiled, because we've beheld the glory of God on the face of Christ. And now we can carry that forward into our daily lives. Okay, so I want to give you two other words, right? Besides the sense of freedom and joy and peace, there's also a sense of, I trust. There's a trustfulness that becomes manifest in our lives, a trustfulness. And it's something that, oh, I can trust you. I can trust this. There's a solidity to that person's sense of radiance, is that I can trust. And the reason I can trust is that, here's the other word, goodness. There's a sense of goodness. Have you ever described someone like that? You know, someone that you met, that I just really sensed this person's goodness. Yeah, I think those two terms go together. A deep sense of trust and a deep experience or communication of someone's goodness. Okay, I shared all of these things with you, all because of the theme of today's program, which is God is so good that you can trust him now, today, right here, right now, and forever. And you think about the divine mercy image that says, Jesus, I trust in you. And what do we notice about the image of Christ. It's the image of his Sacred Heart. But what is it about the Sacred Heart that's distinct in the Divine Mercy image? It's that his heart is, what's the word? Radiant. It's shining forth with this light, with these rays of light. And when we can get beyond the picture of the radiant, the image of the radiant Christ, to the encounter with the broken open, poured forth heart of Jesus that radiates his goodness, his mercy to you, well, what will you be able to do? You'll be able to trust. You'll be able to trust because his goodness has washed over you. His goodness has soaked in you. His goodness has evoked in you in a pull, a magnetic pull to enter into his heart. St. Augustine talked about that. St. Augustine, he talked about our desire for God, our being pulled towards God. You see, our desire wasn't originating from us. Oh, I lack God and I desire God, and now I'm seeking after God. That could be a human way of describing it, but the initiative is God's. The initiative is God's love of us. It's his love of us that is drawing us to himself. His love is drawing us to himself. And so I'm describing for you this really beautiful and profound way of understanding the meaning of faith through the lens of trust in this divine mercy image of Jesus, I trust in you. But there's a reason why that's so important. And I believe that, again, among the many reasons hidden in the mind of God for why the Divine Mercy message would come out now, I believe that one of the reasons is that it is an antidote to the scientific mindset. Okay, let me say that again, because that's kind of a out of left field a little bit. That the message of God's mercy, the message of Jesus, I trust in you, of fundamental trust, is an antidote to the poison of a scientific mindset that is brought into our relationship with God. Okay, let me just stop there for a minute, because that can sound kind of dramatic. Like, wait a minute, are you saying that science is poison? No, I'm not saying that at all. What do you mean a scientific mindset as it applies to our relationship with God? Well, let's talk about that. And I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to unfold that thought for you by taking the theme of trust and inserting it into a traditional Catholic understanding of faith. This goes all the way back to the fathers of the church, that faith operates at three levels. There is credere Deum. That is, I believe that God exists. I believe that God exists. There's credere Deo. That is, I believe things about God. I don't just believe that God exists, but I believe things about God, that God is the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, et cetera, et cetera. And so those are the truths of divine revelation. And then ultimately, the deepest center of faith, if I said to you, what is faith? Faith is more than just believing that God exists. It's even more than believing things about God. Faith is the act of fundamental, complete trust and entrustment to God. The heart of faith, the core of faith, the deepest dimension of faith is the act of trust and fundamental entrustment, surrender, complete surrender and abandonment to God. And so that's where we want to end up, in the heart of faith and the depths of faith. So I'm going to now unfold these three levels of faith through this theme of trust, and do so in a way, I hope, that you'll find to be a blessing. And you'll see how, hopefully, there's this connection between the divine mercy message and the antidote to, it would seem to me, one of the fundamental challenges of our time that is emerging more and more. And that's the suspicion of doubt, of a mindset that proceeds through doubt. Okay, now you know what I'm getting at a little bit when I talk about a scientific mindset. So let's start with the idea of the first level of faith. I mentioned that the first level of faith is what? The first level of faith is credere Deum. I believe that God exists. And in our tradition, you can see this in the Summa Theologica of St. Thomas Aquinas, that the basic level of faith is to say, I believe that God exists and that God is provident, that God has a providential care for our lives. God is guiding the world that he has created from its beginning in him. He's the source of creation to the goal that he has for creation. That creation would be a manifestation and a communication of God's glory, and that it would glorify him and he would become all in all. Okay, so there's the ultimate goal of all creation. And the path is salvation history, right? So, you know, the world is not only created, but had to be redeemed and sanctified, right? So we're not here to talk so much about that, but rather that this first act of faith is to say, there is a God. I see evidence of God around me. God does exist. And that he's provident. He has a providential care. I'm going to give you another word. He's trustworthy. Now, this basic level of faith, this like, let's call it this rudimentary level, this ground level of faith, is under attack today through the fundamental scientific mindset that, when it's brought into faith, can make that first level act of faith so difficult. What am I talking about? Well, the St. John Paul II, when he talks about the original sin, one of the ways that he emphasizes the meaning of original sin is that it's not only an act of pride, where we lift ourselves up over and against God, rather than lowering ourselves in a praiseworthy way before God so that he can lift us up. And so it's not simply an act of pride. It's not simply an act of disobedience, a refusal to obey God, but it's an act of mistrust. It's an act of doubting that God can be trusted. And so what does that look like for us? How can that show up in our lives today? Well, it showed up in a conversation I had yesterday with my 12-year-old daughter, Liliana, and one of her good friends. And, you know, we got home. I was driving them home from school. She was, her friend was coming to visit and hang out for a little bit. And they said something to me as they were exiting the car, coming towards the house. I remember 12 years old. And here's what they said. They said, Dad, what do you think about heaven? We were talking about, you know, death and heaven at school today. And there's something about heaven that freaks me out. And that's that heaven, just like, what are we going to do? Like, heaven just is gonna go on and on. Like, what's that all about? I mean, are we gonna get bored? Are we gonna, what happens after that? And what does that mean, that it just goes on and on? And her friend said, yeah, I think about that too. I don't like that. And so there's this sense of existence. The raw act of being is a trap. Did you hear that? There's an interesting word. I'm trapped. I'm trapped in existence and there's no way out. Now, in the journey of life that we're in, there's this sense of flow. There's this sense of, here's my past, now I'm in the present, and now I'm headed towards the future. So in that sense of journey, right, the Camino, there was this journey that I was on. This journey had a goal. And like, while I'm living here on Earth, the idea that, oh, life on Earth has a goal. That goal is to get to heaven. Well, as long as we are just in the flow of living life like that, well, we're doing all right because we have meaningful experiences and we have the dramatic aspect of things, that things get better. And then, oh, when things get hard, we kind of try to recover the things that are better and all of that. And so we can be very busy about that. But wait a minute now, let's stop and think about that goal again. What's that goal? That goal's heaven. Okay. Well, heaven is being happy with God forever. What does forever mean? And the only way that their 12-year-old minds can understand forever is a really, 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 really long time. And then there's this sense of, well, wait a minute now, that sounds like a journey that doesn't have any more destination. It's just a extension of just going forward. And so their experience of time becomes the way that they are looking at the reality of eternity, and they bump up against it. And now there is a bit of a crisis. And what's the crisis? Am I stuck? Can I trust? Oh, did you hear the word? How do I trust with the foundational, rudimentary, like at the ground level experience of my own existence? Is God trustworthy? And what does that even mean? So St. John Paul II comes to the rescue, and he leans on Thomas Aquinas, but comes to the rescue and points us to a different way of understanding the act of faith, that God is not only the one who created us, but he has providential care over our lives. And yes, this is life. And so, Joyce, I am here with you live. And so, so this reality that God is providentially caring for you introduces into the present moment, into the right now moment, the experience of saying, you can trust me. You can trust me. I care for you. And this is where the scientific mindset can come in and can make it difficult for us, because what does that mindset ask of us? It says, step apart from the experience of something and look at it, observe it. Don't allow yourself to influence it, but observe it. So be as objective as you can. And you're going to gain more insight into it by doubting. So we're going to put into question, we're going to doubt, and we're going to proceed in our knowledge by refining our understanding of the object that we're apart from. And is that scientific path of growing in knowledge important in life? Absolutely. Huge, huge. It's almost impossible to overstate it. Is it the only path to authentic knowledge? And the answer is absolutely not. You know, my degree's in systematic theology, and it's one of these realities where there's more than one way of coming into true knowledge. So the scientific mode of coming to know something is fundamentally important. It leads to like really profound insights into life. But there's a realm of personal knowledge that is knowledge not by standing apart and looking at something, but knowledge by immersing oneself into something, that I come to have a profound type of knowing, not by standing apart and doubting, but by trusting and immersing oneself. And that type of knowledge, personal knowledge, is knowledge that flows from an immersion into the object, coming to be in union with the object, giving myself over to the object. And that's the antidote to skepticism, scientific skepticism, as Joyce pointed out. That's the antidote to mistrust, to distrust, right? So what's the sin against faith? It's doubt. And so at a fundamental level, folks, at a fundamental level, coming to know and believe that the God who created this world has a providential care for us is about believing that God is good, that creation is good, that the world that he has created is good, and that his plan for your life and your forever is good. But that's just the first level of faith. We're going to go deeper. There's more here, and it's going to end up with, Jesus, I trust in you. And so, again, I'm Dr. Tom Curran, and it's a thrill to be with you here on my channel, I Love My Catholic Faith, and on Facebook and YouTube. This program is also heard on the radio, on my radio program, and you can access that as a podcast. It's called the Dr. Tom Curran Podcast on the platforms that are out there. But I love doing this, and I'll be doing more of these live streams with you all. I'll be praying the rosary live with you all as well to minister to you, because teaching is so important in our lives of faith. But what's so important is being able to encounter the living God who desires to encounter you with his love, with his care, to unbind and set free those things in your life that are bound up. He loves you. And my sense of call and my passionate purpose is to be, to the extent possible, a conduit of his great love for your life. Okay, so the second level of faith, remember now, it's creator et deum, believing that God exists. He has a care, a providential care for you. The second is that you believe things about God. And that third level is that act of trust and entrustment, right? So the second level, believing things about God, is contained in the creed. So for us Catholics, what we believe about God are the things that God has revealed to us in the creed. And these are the mysteries of faith, right? These are the things that God has revealed. And Vatican I, the First Vatican Council in 1870-1871, had in its document on faith and belief, it said that God can neither deceive nor be deceived. God cannot deceive us, nor can God be deceived. But I want to focus on the first part, that God cannot deceive us. You see, in his goodness, in his perfect goodness, in his love for you, the truth that he has revealed to you is a truth without deception. And so when we enter into these truths of our faith, these truths of our faith, these articles of faith, Thomas Aquinas says, are mysteries of faith. And this gives us a hint into the way in which our life forever with God in heaven is a life of unfolding fullness. I'll get there. I'm going to come around to that. I'm going to come around to that as the way in which achieving the goal of heaven is a goal that our tradition refers to as a fountain fullness, as an overflowing fountain that is perfectly full and complete. That's part of Aquinas's definition of eternity. There's something full and complete in a way that life in time, that is this extension, is not. It's marked by desire. It's marked by this journey towards fulfillment. But the act of fulfillment is an act of being complete, that overflows itself. I'll get there. Be patient with me, please. But the mysteries of faith, Aquinas says, are in fact mysteries of faith. Why? Because we can never comprehend them. We can't put a fence around a belief and fully, finally, completely master it. The truths of God are infinite. Our mind's capacity is finite. So a finite mind cannot put a fence around an infinite reality. And that incomprehensibility of God and of the, let's call them, the inexhaustibility of the truths of our faith will forever leave us in a condition of further exploration of the gems and facets of the truths of our faith. And that's a great gift. And that gives us a hint and a glimpse of eternity, a coming unfolding of the truths of who God is forever and ever. And so just, you will never come to the end of knowing what it means that God is Abba, Father, Daddy. His Abba fatherliness, you will know. And the more profoundly you know and encounter that God is your Father, the more that you will know that you haven't even scratched the surface of what it means that He's your good and loving Father. These truths about God. In fact, I want to give you a profound antidote to this sense of existential dread about existing, being incapable of trusting. And the one of the antidotes are the truths of God that are brought together in the Word of God, the Scriptures. The sacred scriptures, the Holy Bible, it's the Word of God. And when you come before the Word of God in faith, when you pray, God, please speak to me. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, you're knocking on the door of my heart as I read the scripture today. Lord, speak to me now. I need a word from you that I can trust you. I need a word to come alive for me. You're a trustworthy Father. And so the word I give to you today is Luke 12:32. Luke 12:32. Do not live in fear, little flock, for it has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. Do not live in fear, little flock. It has pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. And my prayer for you is that if you struggle to trust, if you struggle to trust the Lord in the right now moment of your life, in the today moment of your life, if you struggle to trust the Lord in this existential dread type of fashion as a result of suspicion and mistrust or of radical doubt that is again fostered through this scientific mindset approach to faith, then I encourage you to open yourself to the word of the Lord, to God's word, and He will minister to your heart, and you'll come to a type of knowing, a personal knowledge, a knowledge through union that God is my loving Father, and He's pleased to pour forth His goodness into my life. He's pleased to give me the kingdom. And I don't need to fear. You'll discover that your fear washes away. Your fear diminishes. Your fear is effaced as the face of the Father that shines forth on the face of the Son, as Jesus reveals His Father to you. You will know the good pleasure of the Father in your regard. That's the second level of faith. Let God's word speak to your heart, minister to your soul, heal your mind, your emotions, the distrust that can exist intellectually. Let him move you from distrust to the trust that washes away fear and experiences the Father's good pleasure. Well, this then leads to the third and most profound level of faith, brothers and sisters. It's the Jesus I trust in you level of faith. It's the message of mercy. And this again is St. John Paul II, when he wrote about God the Father of mercies, his third encyclical. He wrote an encyclical about the Father, about the Son, about the Holy Spirit, right? Christ the Redeemer, right? The Redeemer of man. He wrote an encyclical about the Holy Spirit, and he wrote an encyclical about God the Father, right? The God the Father of mercies, right? The merciful Father. That if we don't have an encounter with the Father, then he'll be a judge. He'll be a master. He'll be a dominating Lord. But when we encounter his mercy, when we realize that we are, okay, important word here, encompassed by mercy. We're completely surrounded by mercy. That our resistance will diminish. Our resistance will be overcome. We'll experience this permeation into the core of our being, beyond our walls, beyond our blockages, beyond our attempts to ward God off. We'll discover that we are immersed in mercy. That's the word. What was the wisdom that the Lord gave to Saint Faustina about souls that were in rebellion, even in radical rebellion against the Father, against the Lord, against their faith? It was plunge and immerse those poor sinners into the ocean of mercy. Immerse them. They will be encompassed by mercy. I share that with you as my encouragement to you that is the deepest act of faith. The deepest, the most profound act of faith is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in the very first set of chapters in part one, where it talks about that faith is this dramatic action of God revealing, and then our response, right, to the human condition that God that we're created in, this, we're capable of God, that God reveals, and our response is the act of faith. And the deepest aspect of that act of faith is radical trust and entrustment of oneself, all that we are, all that we have, listen now, freely, completely, and forever. It's free, it's full, and it's forever. That's what the Lord invites us to. That's what he stirs in us, is that full, free, complete giving of ourselves back to God. And that's in you. That's not something that you have to somehow create. That's not something that you have to somehow earn. That's not an act that you have to somehow figure out. No, it has been infused in you from your baptism. You see, when you were baptized, you were recreated as God's child. You're a whole new creation. And the manifestation and expression of that new creation status that you share in the sonship of Jesus, you share in his divine life, where you can cry out, Abba, Father, because his spirit lives in you. The mode of that manifesting itself is the act of faith. It's that act of free, full, final, complete trust in the Lord. It's Jesus, I trust in you. It's Jesus, I abandon myself to you. Take care of everything. It's Jesus, I give myself entirely to you. You take over. Right? You might be hear that. That's that prayer of Father Dolindo Ruotolo. It's what Jesus speaks to the soul. right? That beautiful, beautiful act of prayer, that act of faith, that complete act of faith in our good and loving God. Now, when that's alive in you, you radiate that. You radiate that into your world. And so I encourage you, make acts of trust. Make acts of faith. When you are struggling, realize that it's in you. So act from that gift that's already given to you. Go to God's word. Let that scripture strike your heart. Luke 12:32. Do not live in fear, little flock. It's pleased the Father to give you the kingdom. And then make acts of faith. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I give myself to you. Jesus, I abandon myself into your hands. You take over. Take care of everything, Lord. And Lord, I ask you for the grace to do that even when I can't, even though I see the ways that I hold back. I see the ways I fall short. I see the ways that I doubt. I see the ways that I'm afraid. I still, in those moments, Lord, I still say, I trust you. And I entrust myself to you. This is fuel for the journey. This is fuel for the journey, brothers and sisters. I mentioned at the beginning of this sharing with you, at the beginning of the live stream, and you can go back and watch it afterwards, that I had this conversation with my 12-year-old daughter yesterday. And the conversation was, Dad, like, what are we going to do forever? And I don't like thinking about that. And like, life on earth, the goal is to get to heaven. But then what? What's heaven? And I, believe it or not, I used Thomas Aquinas's understanding of eternity. And I said, have you ever remembered an event, like a time here on earth? Do you have a memory of like something that you were doing that was so amazing? It was like perfect. It was just so like wonderful that it was like, gosh, I can't believe it. Like time just went by so fast. It just was like so full. I was so alive. It was so great. It was so amazing that I just felt like it just time stopped. And that experience of being so like full, that moment overflowed, that somehow that present moment was so alive and full that it overflowed. I said, that is God's glimpse on earth of heaven, not this idea that I've been alive for this many years and I'm going to probably be alive for this many more years. And then that idea of time is principally dominated by the concepts of past and future, because those weigh much more heavily on our minds than the reality of the present, because the present has no extent, right? Distensio, like, you know, Augustine's word for it is this kind of tension, this movement from past to future. And so that present moment feels empty. It's empty conceptually. And yet all of the experience of our lives is this idea of being full, that all of life is lived in that present moment. It's lived in the right now moment. And so I shared that with her to say, look, that's what heaven is. Heaven is this moment. It's an event that is so full and perfect. It's so complete that it overflows, rather than the idea that it just goes on and on and on and on and on. It just endures and there's no end to it. That actually is a much more fitting description of hell. You know, it's duration leading nowhere. Right? That's one definition of hell, meaninglessness. Duration leading nowhere is just utter despair. That's hell, just ongoing existence. And so I pointed her towards life. Being isn't just existing, being is living. And if you want to understand the meaning of life, immerse yourself in life. Immerse yourself in the moment of right now. And that will be the place where trust emerges, where trust is nurtured, where trust radiates from our lives. Well, there you go. I hope and pray that that was a blessing to you. It's my reflection for today. And I do pray God's blessings on you and encourage you to come back. Again, if you're watching this online, follow the channel, like, subscribe, share, comment, just so that you'll stay connected to me as I continue to share and to pray with you in these many platforms. All right. God bless you.